Man, I have thoroughly enjoyed this service thus far.
Yes, sir.
Been just what I needed. You ever had one of them that's just what you needed?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
I love how it don't take the Lord a long time to get something accomplished. He don't take him a long time a lot of times. He can get it done very quickly. And I am quite nervous about any time that I preach after we've had what we had here tonight. It does make me quite nervous because I want to be in the will of God. I do not want to be preaching just to be taking up time or just to be beating the air. I don't think it's what it's about. I don't think it's what we're supposed to be doing. And my sermon tonight is one that is quite different to what we've had thus far, but I believe the Lord knows all things. And I thank the Lord. I think he knows exactly what he's doing, and I trust you've been blessed of the Lord. My burden, I did a terrible job preaching this morning. I really did, and I didn't do like I needed to do. But my burden, my heart's burden, and I do not say it lightly tonight, God did speak to me and say to me that he was very displeased with my lack of witnessing and trying to reach out to the lost. And from that, I guess tonight, through my studies dealing with that, I came across this, and I've been studying on it, and I want to share this with you tonight. And I possibly have somewhere else that I need to preach this at, and trust the Lord will help us there when I preach it, that the Lord will give us souls for our labor. So please understand tonight, let me put a disclaimer on this heading in. I'm not trying to beat us down tonight in any way, but I hope tonight that this would stir our heart and help us to understand about the future state of lost men and women and cause us to get under a burden. How many people would say, I need more of a burden for the lost?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Is that all right?
Yes,
see, the Lord's blessed us all and helped us all. Now if we get a little encouragement in that direction, I think it'll be a good service tonight. Y'all agree with that?
Yes,
all right, Book of Revelation chapter 20. Book of Revelation, chapter number 20 tonight. There's a lot of things in the book of Revelation throughout the entire scripture, but especially in the book of Revelation that is maybe not heaven and hell issues that some of us here, even as preachers, we may not fully agree with each other on. But tonight, if I bring out something you don't fully agree with, I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about anything other than just pure opinions about what some of this may mean. Please, please don't fall out with me, okay? Please, please, please don't fall out with me. And just understand that sometimes the way I may see something in Revelation, you may see it totally different, but I don't think that makes us lost. I don't think in any way. You all agree with that tonight?
Yes.
All right, the book of Revelation, a very touchy subject, the great white throne judgment, verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Notice that. He says, when he that sat on the throne, speaking of Christ, the earth and the heaven fled away from him. And listen what the scripture said, and there was found no place for them. That simply means there was nowhere they could hide. There was nowhere they could get away from the Lord. And he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And verse 15 is where we conclude in our reading tonight. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord, I praise you tonight for your goodness to us. I praise you, Lord, tonight for your spirit that we felt in this house. Lord, I say it reverently and I say it humbly. I thank you for your spirit that I have felt here tonight. I know beyond a shadow of doubt tonight that you have touched hearts and you've ministered to people in this place tonight. But God, I feel that you want me to share this with this congregation tonight, Lord. I pray, God, give me courage, give me strength, give me the anointing of the Holy Ghost, which will make up for everything that I lack in my life, and touch our hearts and bring us closer to you. Stir us, God, to the condition of those around us, and give us, increase our burden for those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, amen. I forget sometimes. I forget all the time. I'm bad to forget. I meant to say I sure was glad to see Timmy and Missy here. They know that because I tell them that all the time. But I wanted to say it publicly. And I meant to say it when I started church and I just forgot, got nervous. I still get nervous. Y'all still get nervous when they get you up sometimes. I still get nervous. Glory to God. Glad they're here. Glad for how the Lord's helping them. And we love them. Preaching from this subject tonight, it's a very serious subject. It's a very important subject. It's a subject that's of great detail and in depth. I was telling Brother Sullivan this evening what I was trying to preach on and what I've been studying about. And we was discussing this, and it's very in depth tonight. But I just want to touch on some of these highlights and trust the Lord will help us to see tonight what I'm trying to get across to you. I want to preach from this great white throne judgment upon the subject, no hiding place. No hiding place. Nowhere to hide. This event we call the great white throne judgment, I believe it to be a judgment for the lost. I think that's what it is. Now, I know there in that there is a discrepancy among some people. Some people believe there may be some folks that are saved from different times throughout after the first resurrection and after the rapture of the church. But I believe tonight, and this is just my opinion, this is one of them things that is my opinion only. I believe that this great white throne judgment is a judgment for people who have not received and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. I believe that's who will be there. I know that he writes and says that he saw the dead, and I know we can believe that to be the physical dead, and of course that it is, because this is another resurrection. Last Sunday night I preached about the first resurrection, about the rapture of the church. But here's another resurrection of the dead, and I believe it to be the wicked dead. But I think he's not only writing about, Brother Norman, those that are physically dead, but I think, as it is throughout the New Testament, this word dead refers to those that are spiritually dead. Those who are absolutely dead in trespasses and in sin. Everybody away from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is dead. You all agree with that tonight? Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. So I believe when he resurrects this dead, it's not only just the physical dead, but it's all those who are dead, both physically and spiritually, and we put them in the category of the lost. This is a judgment of the lost. Could I tell you tonight that there is coming a time when every lost person will face Jesus Christ as Lord and Judge. Get a witness out there to that tonight? You may say, what has this got to do with anything, preacher? I hope this stirs us up tonight. I hope it would stir my heart and made me want to witness to people more. And I hope that's the whole purpose of this message tonight. There comes a time when every lost person faces Jesus Christ as Lord and Judge. I think we all agree tonight that at this point in time, right now in this dispensation, that we have Jesus Christ as a Savior. We understand that. Now he is our Savior. But there comes a point when Jesus Christ is no longer the Savior of men, but he dons that robe or that character of strictly the Judge of men. And that's what he is up on this day. The day of salvation is past. It's too late. It's too late to believe on him and receive him. At this point, as men are, so they are. That's how it is. There's no reversing it. They face Jesus Christ as the Lord and Judge of their life. And on this day, there's absolutely nowhere to hide. Can I get a witness to that tonight? You all believe this? Nowhere to hide on that day. There's a few points that I want to make tonight from this and hopefully stir up your heart. On that day, there's nowhere to hide from the judge that sits up on this throne. Look at this. Look at these descriptive words that John writes in this as he describes this throne. He calls it great. That's why we call it the Great White Throne Judgment. He said, I saw a great. Notice that word great. It refers to power. It is saying this is the highest court in the universe. This is where judgment is rendered from this throne. And there is no appeal to a higher court. You know, in this land, you can, if you don't like the decision that's made, if you've got the resources and enough good lawyers, you can appeal to a higher court. And you can try to go on and get the verdict reversed. And it happens all the time. They sometimes bring things back up and take it to someone higher, and it's overturned or overrode, and the verdict is changed. But on this judgment day, on this day, there will be no higher court in the land. Absolutely. In our land, in our court system today, it is stained with sin, and it's stained it's stained with prejudice, and it's stained with fallibility. I mean, it's crooked, and it's horrible, the things that go on. I mean, money and politicians turn the wheel and the screws on the judges, and they pass the laws, and it all comes down to the subject of money and power. It's what it all comes down to, and it's basically, at the end of the day, it's a good system if it was done right, but at the end of the day, it's corrupt and it's tainted because of the world that we live in. But this court in heaven tonight is absolutely perfect. And the judgment that's rendered on this day by this judge on the throne will be fair, and it will be righteous. Can I get a witness to that tonight? The judge who occupies this bench is infallible. He's infallible. He's not tainted by sin or prejudice, but he renders fair judgment. And his judgment is perfect, and it's righteous, and it's always fair. Do you understand this tonight? That God is such a holy God, and such a pure God, and such a righteous God, that even in his judgments, he's holy and pure and righteous. It's not just the fact of mercy and grace, but even in his judgments, he does everything absolutely to perfection. Whew. Y'all just stay with me a little while now. I want to get this off my heart. I mean, this is burning just like fire. Burning just like fire in my soul tonight. Whew. We live in a day and hour when people cry unfair. Y'all hear that much? Y'all get that much? They cry unfair. They cry foul play, Brother Rob. People give all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons, and they've got a list of things why that where they are, and all these things, and they cry foul play and they cry unfair. But I want to tell you, on this judgment day, no person that stands before the Lord Jesus Christ will be allowed to say that word unfair. No excuses were allowed to be offered. No reasons will be allowed to be rendered. Only he who sits on the throne will do the judging and do the speaking and passing the verdict. And every person that stands before him that day will only be able to receive the judgment that he passes upon them, and they will have to take it and endure it. They will not be allowed to protest it. Get a witness to that today. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that this throne is occupied. It tells us that it's great and it's white, which speaks of its holiness and its righteousness. But the Bible tells us that this throne that we see in this text is occupied by somebody. There's somebody on that throne. And though John doesn't reveal who it is, we know who it is because other places in the Bible plainly tell us who this judge is upon this throne. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's who sits up on this throne. That day, the Savior of men will become the sentencer of men. The Savior that pled, I believe God's going to help me. The Savior that pled for men and pleaded with them to come to him and to escape everlasting punishment and to escape eternal damnation on that day will not on that day offer them any kind words. He will not offer them any pleas of repentance. He'll not ask them on that day, will you turn from your sin? He'll not ask them on that day to believe upon him. He'll not ask them on that day, Brother Bruce, would they like to be saved and flee a life of sin? No, sir. On that day, there'll be only one thing on the table, and that will be the sentence of sin upon the life of the sinner. He stands tonight. Whoo! He stands tonight. And he pleads with people. He pleads with them every day. He begs them to turn. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost helping me. He begs them to leave a life of sin and to come to him. He deals with their hearts every day. My God in heaven, you think that he told them in the book of Romans, you're without excuse. You have no excuse. There is no excuse. The grace of God. He teaches us later that the grace of God in the book of Titus appears unto all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. He teaches us how to live. We don't have to have anybody. Listen, the man outside the doors that's never heard a holiness preacher, the grace of God deals with his heart. Nature itself, the Bible says to us, teaches us how men and women ought to live and dress and conduct themselves pleasing unto God. Even the Bible teaches us that the creation, all of creation testifies that there's a God, that there is a creator. No man on that day will stand before God and offer to God the excuse that he did not know better. Woo! Listen, this may be more teaching than preaching. I don't know tonight, but this is what I feel on my heart. The Bible tells us, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. That's what the Bible teaches us. Y'all agree with that tonight?
That's right.
The Bible talks to us about the parable of the talents, Brother Raleigh.
Yes, sir.
The Bible teaches, to whom much is given, the same as much is required. There's different levels of knowledge. There's different levels of understanding. But I want to tell you, when they come to this day, God will judge them by what they know. But every person at this judgment will not be excused. From the strictest holiness church down to the jungles of the Amazon. Every unbeliever will be sentenced to eternal damnation. Whew. Y'all believe that tonight? That's why missionaries. Y'all seen what the Lord's been whooping me with lately? That's why missionaries go to foreign countries. and do what they do because they know that every man has got to give an account. The Bible teaches us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And God knows what they know, and God knows what we know. That's why he's not going to let a preacher judge him. He's not going to let anybody else judge him. He himself's going to judge him because he knows the hearts of men. Witness out there today? Listen. Listen. On this day, Josh often sings about the lamb, the lion, and the king. He sings that song. And I thought about this when I was studying a sermon because on this day, when he sits on this great white throne judgment, it's not going to be the Savior, Brother Raleigh, the world has seen before. It's going to be a different Jesus than they've ever seen before. Because when he was here, he was the lowly Nazarene. He was the man who was afflicted of sorrows. He endured the contradiction of sinners. He done all of these things like a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't open his mouth. He was the poor, humble carpenter of Nazareth. He was a lowly Nazarene. But on this day, he will don no other apparel than the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. He will sit upon his throne as the resurrected conqueror. His presence on this day, I want you to get this. His presence on this day is so terrible and so powerful that the heavens and the earth are looking for somewhere to hide absolutely before him. Now, I may not have this rendering exactly right, okay? I may not. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I'm trying to be. But I think the Bible's speaking about not just, I understand that the heavens are going to melt with fervent heat. I understand all that. But when he writes about these heavens and earth fleeing away, I think more than just trying to disappear, I think he's saying they're trying to bow down before him. Even nature, when it sees this holy God up on his throne, in his holy judgment and righteous judgment, even nature has enough sense to bow down before the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Whew. My God, I'm telling you, when they see him on that day, every knee will bow. Can I get a witness out there tonight? I hope I ain't preaching too long tonight. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, every principality, every dominion, everything is going to bow down before this holy God and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And here's the question tonight. Why are men so slow to bow down before him in his presence? Whew. Man, oh man. A holy God. A holy God. The book of Daniel, if you're a Bible reader, you understand that the book of Daniel runs right along with the book of Revelation. Book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 9th and 10th verse, Daniel wrote about this day, I believe. I believe he is prophesying about this great white throne judgment. Listen what he said. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now listen, This is a direct correlation to what John writes in this 20th chapter of Revelation. He saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And he said, I saw 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And listen what he said. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Just boring y'all tonight, is this okay? The books were opened. This is interesting to me tonight because when I read John, when he writes about this great white throne judgment, he takes us to my next point tonight, and that is that there will be no hiding from the justice at the throne. There's no hiding from the judge on the throne, but there's no hiding from the justice that will proceed from this throne. Daniel declared, the judgment was set. And listen what he said. And the books were open. John wrote and said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I think that means rich and poor, every walk of life, whether they was somebody in the world or a nobody in the world. They stood before God. And listen what John wrote and said. He said, and the books were open. God, would you help me tonight? The books, notice it's plural. Notice what Daniel writes. He said, and the books were open. The exact language, word for word. And the books, plural, was opened. Books. Only one of these books are named in John's writing. And he calls it the book of life, actually in the 20th chapter. Other places, back in chapter 3 and verse 5, if my memory serves me correctly, he writes about the Lamb's book of life. And later, he will be referred to as that as well. I don't know exactly all the books that will be used on that day. But I know that on that great judgment day, it is plural. And there will be more than one book used on that judgment day. But if you'll permit me just a little while longer tonight, I want to share with you some of my theories on the books that I think will be there. Please, don't hold me to this. But I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible will be a book that is used on that great judgment day. Anybody out there believe that tonight? Jesus himself reminded us that we will be judged out of his word, out of the Bible. This Bible that sinners mock at today and refuse to heed to will be used to render judgment upon their lives that day. Can I tell you, saints of God, tonight, it's better to believe it now and go to heaven than to reject it and face it in judgment and end up in eternal blazing fire of hell. Woo! I'm trying to preach to you tonight. The Lord will help me. This book, and I don't say that irreverently, this holy Bible, this holy word of God. I know, Brother Raleigh, this Bible, this King James, has been translated many times. I understand that. But I want to tell you something tonight. Woo! I feel good about this. I want to tell you something tonight. Them men that translated this from the Hebrew and the Greek, they prayed. They fasted. They sought God. They done their dead level best to give us the closest thing that they could give us to what God originally gave to men. That's why I read the King James Bible. Glory to God. That's why I read it. Because I know, and I've studied, and I've read history, and I know them men wrote it with a reverence to try to get us as close as they could to what God gave to mankind. And I'm telling you, saints of God,
I believe from this word, God will judge every soul on that day of judgment. And I'm telling you tonight, we need to get back to loving the Bible. We need to get back to reading the Word of God. We need to let it have preeminence in our churches, in our homes, and in our lives again. We've neglected the Word of God. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day He'll open this book and judge us according to the Bible. Woo! Oh, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Another book that I think will be open on that day, and you may not agree with some of the rest of these, but please understand, I'm not preaching this as heaven and hell doctrine. I'm just preaching this as what I believe, okay? I believe there'll be another book called the Book of Deeds. What I mean by that is I believe there's been a record kept. I believe there's been a record kept of the deeds of men. One day every lost man has got to stand before the Lord Jesus as judge and hear the record of his life read from the throne of God. I believe John backs up what I'm preaching to you tonight. Because in verse 12, he makes it clear that they will be judged, Brother Raleigh, according to their works. That's what the Bible said. They'll be judged according. Am I preaching too long? Is this all right? Whew. They'll be judged according to their works. Whew. Every deed, good and evil, will be mentioned. Every sin will be read aloud. God help this preacher to preach tonight. Did you ever read where he talked about things that was done in secret being shouted from the housetop? You remember when the Apostle Paul wrote about how that Jesus is going to judge the secrets of men? You ever read that in your scripture where the Bible spoke about the secrets of the hearts of men are going to be every idle word. Josh talked about it this morning. Every word we speak, everything that's said that's not brought under the blood on that day, that's not had forgiveness of, that's not been taken care of, on that day will be read aloud from the throne of God. Woo! Woo! God, would you help me right here tonight? Woo! I think some people have misunderstood me lately. It's just because there's some things I've not even talked about to a lot of people. It's trying to talk to me about them because... I want to make sure, brethren. Y'all hear what I'm saying tonight? Whew. God, help me to understand. If I say something out of a bitter heart or from an angry lip, that it's wrong and it's sin. And if it's not forgiven and put in the blood, I'm going to be judged for it on that day. Get a witness out there tonight. You all believe this tonight? Whoo. Whoo. Glory to God. Listen. Sins of commission. Sin of commission. Sins of omission. Flagrant sins. Secret sins. Sins of the heart. Sins of the mind. Whew. I ain't trying to kill nobody tonight. I really ain't. Whew. Understand this tonight. And on that day, on that day. Men thought that when Jesus came, and they still teach it today. They still teach it today. It don't matter what we do or how we live. Not under the law. I want to tell you, when Jesus came, he said it plainly to us. The law said you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. Get a witness out there tonight. Jesus not only judges the actions of men, he judges every motive, every intention, every ambition, every thought. Every thought, has to be given account for on that day. On that day, everything not under the blood, understand that tonight, everything not under the blood will be brought out in the open on that day. Holy Ghost, would you help me? Right, I feel good about this. It's hard to get people. I was telling Brother Benny today, who was talking about what the Bible meant when it said, as it was in the days of Noah. What does that really mean? A lot of different things that means, and we all understand. But one of the things is the condition of the hearts of men. It's just hard to get people to fess up. Ain't it? It's just hard. It's just hard to get. God have mercy. We're prideful. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Prideful, don't want to admit it. Want to save face. But oh God, I'd rather you all look down on me here. I'd rather you all call me a rotten scoundrel here and have it under the blood. Y'all ain't helping me much tonight. I'd rather you all be embarrassed about me here as him be ashamed of me on that day, Brother Clay. I feel the Holy Ghost. You all see me at church. You don't see me when I'm in the car. You don't know what kind of music I'm listening to. Y'all don't know what I'm thinking when I'm by myself. I can hide it. I can keep it from you for a long time. But oh God, it don't matter if nobody ever knows. Or nobody ever finds out. There's a book of deeds. There's a book of deeds. And an accurate record being kept. And I believe every day that he writes it down, he's praying that he can come back and blot it out with the blood. But if it's not blotted out by the blood on that day, it'll be opened and it'll be read before the whole world. Whew. Hey, help me, Holy Ghost. He's going to read dirty secrets on pastors, preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers. Amen. choir members.
Yes, sir.
Faithful tithe payers. Faithful church attenders.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Whew. Yeah. I feel the Holy Ghost. One thing that he mentions here, I've got to hurry. One thing that he mentions here is the book of life. He does mention that, Brother Raleigh. He mentions the book of life. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I am not for sure, okay? I'm only 33 years old. I'm not a theologian. I'm not for sure if this is the same book as the Lamb's book of life. I don't know. I've read this so many times. I've studied this so many different ways. I've talked to people about it. I've read all kinds of, they've got so many opinions. If it is or if it ain't, I don't know. But I want to tell you something tonight. I know there is a Lamb's Book of Life. And I know when a person gets saved and redeemed, their name goes in that book. Because he told his disciples, rejoice not that you... that these demons are so too, but rejoice your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 3 and 5, he talked about it. And in this text, he even tells us in verse 15, whosoever's not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. So there is a Lamb's Book of Life. But some people have the opinion, and I'm not saying this is exactly how I believe it tonight, but I could see this. Some people believe that there may be also a Book of Life. Purely. Just throwing it out there tonight because it's a very interesting point. And they think, Brother Raleigh, that maybe when a person's born, God writes their name in this book of life. And like I said, I'm not talking heaven and hell doctrine here, okay? And as long as that person is alive, it's the book of the living. And there's an opportunity. But when they die, they no longer have that opportunity to have their name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. As long as they're living, there's a chance, there's hope, there's opportunity to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But when it ceases, when that day when you die, when death comes to you, at that moment you cease any longer to have that opportunity to ever be saved. Your name is no longer in the book of life. How many people knows you can't get saved after death? Still believe that, don't we? Glory to God. I'll tell you this. I don't know what all books there is, but I know he said there'd be multiple books. There's one thing I'm sure of. Everything in them books will be accurate. And they'll be complete. And there's one more thing I know. That I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Every person that goes to that judgment will stand on their own. Just them and Jesus. Is this all right tonight? Praise God. Let me give you one more real quickly here. My third point I want to make tonight about this great white throne judgment is this. There'll be no hiding from the judgment from that throne. We can't hide from the judge. There's a sentence that's going to be carried out that we can't hide from. And this judgment that proceeds from this throne, you can't hide. You can't get away from. And every person at this bench, before this bench, the judgment they're going to receive is the sentence of death. Not physical death, but the second death, which is the eternal separation from God in the fires of the lake of fire. Can I get a witness to that tonight? Not physical death, second death. Good Lord God, help us tonight. Second death, eternal separation from God in the fires of the lake of fire. Can I tell you tonight, this will be a death where there'll be no dying. Men's going to ever be dying, but they're never going to get the dying business over with. They're going to die throughout all of eternity. What I mean by this is there'll be no end to the torment. There'll be no end to the hell. There'll be no end to the awful nature of what the sinner will face. It'll be an eternal state of dying apart from the presence of God. And here's the thing about this judgment. It's final and it is forever. Whew. It's final. And it's absolutely forever. There's no reversing it. There's no undoing it. You can't fix it. You can't back up and change it. When this sentence is passed, on that day, it's final and it's absolutely forever. Some people believe that hell is simply eternal separation from God. And I want to tell you, that's what makes hell so bad. I'm not cursing when I say this, but that's what makes it such a damnation. Here's the truth, that it is eternal separation from God. But I want to tell you something. It's more, saints of God, than just a state in which you are separated. My Bible teaches me there is darkness. There is weeping. There is gnashing of teeth. There is absolutely literal fires that burn men, but they never consume them. How many people believe hell is real tonight? You better believe it. Imagine the horror of hearing Jesus utter the words that will send the soul forever away into eternal torment. The Bible records them for us. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Imagine hearing this sentence from the Lord who loved you enough to die in your place. Imagine. Amen. I often preach about Christ and about his sacrifice. But imagine hearing the words from a Lord that loves you enough to give his life for you. And he says to you, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Understand something tonight, saints of God. Every lost person Brother Tim, every lost person that's what they're headed to. Y'all hear what this preacher's saying tonight? That's why I'm preaching like I'm preaching tonight. I want to understand every lost person, that's where they're headed, sister. Whew. Today is the day of salvation. Now I feel the Holy Ghost on my heart. Now. Let's tarry a moment here. I feel the Lord dealing with somebody in this house. I came tonight to preach this message and hope to stir us to pray for our lost people in our lost community. But I feel God dealing with somebody in this house tonight.
Father, I love you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that I felt tonight. Thank you for the witness of your spirit in my heart. I thank you, Lord, for how you blessed your people tonight. God, I pray for somebody in this house tonight. Help us to understand, Lord, that you love us, you care. You want us to be saved. You want us to do good. You want us, you want nothing more than to take us to heaven. You want nothing more than to give us eternal, everlasting life. You want nothing more than for us to escape that eternal damnation that's sure to come upon unbelievers. Lord, I pray right now that you would convict somebody's heart in this house. Help us to understand, God, that we cannot die in our sins and go to heaven. God, that you will not make an excuse for me. No preacher, nobody. All men must repent. They must come to you and follow you. Lord, help us tonight, God, to forsake our sin. Turn to you, our Savior, and to flee the wrath that is surely to come upon the sentence of sin. Father, if you'll touch somebody's heart in this house tonight, I pray for every believer here tonight that our hearts will be stirred in the days ahead to reach out to every lost person that we can and reach them before it's everlasting too late. Jesus, if you'll do these things, I give you the praise and honor and glory. It's in your name that I pray. What goodness of the Lord tonight. Some people see it as his judgment. I view it as his mercy. That he loves me enough. Loves me enough tonight to bless everybody and then just stop it. And just say to somebody tonight, you're going the wrong direction.
Yes.
You need to turn around. You need to turn around tonight. You need to turn around. Let's stand all over this house. This altar's open tonight if you'd like to pray. We'd love for you to come. We'd love for you to pray tonight.
At the end of the road, we'll meet God. When you